Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson. Pete, how you doing?
Is there any reason why you're, like, loosely leaning back in your chair and sort of projecting to the ceiling? Is that, I'm not sure why you're doing that.
I feel like a king when I look up at the ceiling. No, Pete and I are in Japan.
If you listen
to last week's podcast, you'll know we are together.
Back in Japan, baby.
This is our 2-year anniversary podcast.
Oh, happy birthday, mate.
And Pete's flown all the way to Japan to be here just for the 2-year anniversary.
I have, yeah. That's true.
Definitely not just sheer good luck.
Just happened to be there, yeah.
Because he's showing a friend around. No, he's come just for this. And it's a momentous occasion.
It is momentous. I'm having the time of my life. And by the time of my life, I mean...
sitting on the hotel bed.
Sitting on the hotel bed.
As Chris sits in the corner, speaking in the third person because he's drunk too much Strong Zero.
Yeah, the Strong Zero's back, people, for a second week.
We have been trying to do these podcasts while drinking a little bit of alcohol and see what effect it has.
Yeah.
So far, the only effect it has is it slurs your words a little bit. Mm. So don't do it.
It's not helpful.
No. No, it's not at all. But what I will say is it's our 2-year anniversary. And that's amazing. We haven't missed. You criticise us as much as you want. And heaven knows, there's a lot of criticism that you could throw at us.
Yeah, I mean, you're like a kind of a like an abused pet. Like, you just seem to think that everyone hates you, Chris. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying
like
you just need to relax a bit more.
Brilliant. But credit where it's due, we haven't missed a single week of this podcast in 2 years. Maybe that's why we are the biggest Japan podcast out there.
Yeah, I think so.
Why not? You know, when I started off, we had the tagline, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without being in Japan.
Mm.
We know now that we probably definitely are.
Well, come at us, bro. I mean, you know, like, I want to see some competition.
Absolutely.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. We're welcoming. But we've had over 6 million listens in the 2 years that we've been doing this now. We've produced over 100 podcasts. We've had a pretty good run. And there's no sign of it ending in the future.
Anytime soon.
By virtue of the fact that Pete Donaldson left his job as a radio DJ, Absolute Radio, back in December, and now he's a bit more free. He can come to Japan more often, we can do more stuff, we can cover more topics, and Pete can experience more things. just last week, we were in Sapporo for the Sapporo Snow Festival.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. And now we're in Sendai.
We're in equally freezing Sendai. So, well done, everyone. You know, because that's what I like about holiday, just having to wear thermal clothes. It's just, I went to not Muji, what's it called? Uniqlo. Before I left London, and just bought as many really, really warm clothes as I possibly could.
Yes.
Managed to sort of keep out some of the cold anyway.
And if you're wondering what the Sapporo Snow Festival was like, and it was amazing, to be fair. We both had an amazing time. We covered it in last week's podcast, and we made a vlog about it on the second channel, Abroad Perspective, which you can check out on that channel, which was great. We had, there was me, there was Pete, there was Natsuki, there was Sharla in Japan, there was Chiaki, and even Natsuki's wife.
Yes.
Everybody was there. Who wasn't there?
We electrocuted Natsuki at one point.
We did electrocute Natsuki. There was a little toy that
Allowed you to electrocute your friends, and we electrocuted him. It was good.
Shock roulette. I love that.
We didn't take him to an arcade. I need to play some arcade games with Natsuki, because I reckon he'd be really good at them.
I'm sure we can fit that in at some point. But today we are answering your questions, listening to your stories, reading your comments. We're going to spend this week dedicated to the fax machine in order of celebrating this 2-year anniversary.
It's an email special, guys.
And what's the first one we've got?
The first email comes from Matt in the UK. Very generic. Hi, Gazimus, Chris and Pete. I've been listening to the podcast since inception each week and watched most, if not all, of Chris's videos because I'm a frequent traveller to Japan and I love their many quirks. I have a question regarding convenience stores. Most travellers know of 7-Eleven, Lawson's and Family Mart, but do Japanese people frequent only their favourite store with fervent loyalty? Go to each one for different things, or is it simply a price or a location issue? Keep up the good work, Matt, from the UK.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of deviation between all of the different places, but they do obviously have different products.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other convenience store chains like Daily Yamazaki.
Yes.
And Sunkist. Although I think Sunkist were actually bought by Family Mart.
So were they?
Just now, yeah.
Ah.
But what I will say is I don't like those ones. I was with Ryotaro last week. And we always start filming really early in the morning, like 7 o'clock.
Right.
And the only way it works is I get up really early, I get in Ryotaro's car, and then we stop at a convenience store and I get like a pizza man. It's amazing bread. It's just like a bread filled with pizza.
Right.
And I get various other things. And then I sleep in the car for the duration of the journey. I arrive, down a can of coffee, and we're good to go.
Yeah.
And on this occasion last week, Ryotaro wanted to pull over at a mini stop. The mini stop. They're all right. But he was like, I want to go to the mini stop. And I was like, no. I want to go to Lawson's. And we had a battle in the car, 7 o'clock in the morning, racing down the highway towards the coast.
Mini stop.
And I was tugging at the wheel. He was like, we've got to go mini stop. And I was like, no, fuck you and your mini stop. And I grabbed the wheel and I swerved it into Lawson's. And we went to Lawson's and I got the tasty pizza bread. And all was well with the world. So I have my preferences. But to be honest, it's more a case of location and convenience. Most people don't care. And to be fair, at 7-Eleven, Lawson's and Family Mart, there's not much difference.
No.
Lawson's has... I tend to find Lawson's as the best... Actually, I don't know. I know for a fact Family Mart does the best fried chicken.
Right.
I do eat it every week.
Family chicky.
At some point or another. And it's the juiciest, the best marinated, the most delightful, the simply best fried chicken. Nobody comes close. Lawson's is second. But 7-Eleven is a better all-arounder. They have everything.
Right.
I tend to find they have the best range. But I find most people prefer Family Mart.
Mm.
But they're good for different things. Like Ryotaro maintains that I think Family Mart do the best pizza bread. He says that they do the best pizza bread.
Mm.
He has different preferences for different things. Mm. So
there was a Family Mart in Niigata that at 1 o'clock in the morning wasn't very well stocked. Wasn't very well stocked.
Is that the extent of your story?
That's the extent of my story. Okay. I was just very surprised. Wasn't very well stocked.
Well, what I do know is Lawson's. So one of the reasons I do drop into convenience stores a lot is to get coffee while on the go. And Family Mart and 7-Eleven, you get a cup and then you pay for it and then you go to a little machine and you pour your own coffee.
Yes.
Lawson's, they do it for you. And a few of my Japanese friends prefer Lawson's because they don't want to have the hassle of making their own coffee, even though it takes one
minute.
This
is getting very granular.
I know, I remember he was like, I like Lawson's because they do it for you. So if you don't like making your own coffee, sticking a coffee cup in a machine and hitting a button, Lawson's is the place to go. Other than that, they're all the same. Just go to whichever's the closest, Matt. That's my advice.
Don't worry about it, Matt.
Yeah. We got one from Dean who says, hey Chris and Pete, have either of you had a chance to watch Amazon's blatant rip-off of Journey Across Japan starring James May as Lord Broad? If so, what are your thoughts? Cheers, Dean.
Can you imagine how many great hotels James May stayed in his trip across Japan? I bet he stayed in some absolute stunners.
You know what? So I've quite a lot of people messaged me about this. He had a James May from Top Gear and The Grand Tour. Had a show called Man in Japan, right?
Yeah.
James May's Man in Japan. Yeah, did you watch it at all? Did you see it?
I didn't. I just saw the intro video, the trailer, and I was like, why does any kind of show about Japan automatically begin with sumo? Because In the grand scheme of things, like it's just always the first thing. It's like shorthand, and I understand why they do it, but I've never seen any sumo. I've never sort of like when you walk down the street, you don't see pictures of sumo wrestlers. It's just not a thing. It's so old school. It's not a thing that people talk about. It seems
absolutely. I mean, I've never seen sumo. I don't know anyone that has. it's really not that big a thing.
Yeah,
like 10 people watch it in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I'm not degrading. I think it's probably a great sport, and I'd like to watch it. It's on my bucket list. Make no mistake about it. But
there was that famous.
I think it's because it is so weird and quirky and unique that people cover it.
There was a sumo wrestler recently who it was a bit of like a. I was going to say Leicester City, like an also ran kind of sumo wrestler, and then he won, and he broke down because he wasn't amazing, but. He wasn't expected to win the competition, but he won the competition.
Good for him.
He won the competition.
Going back to Man in Japan, though, I did flick through it. I watched every episode on fast forward because I knew I'd seen and done a lot of it. And I think 9 times out of 10, the stuff he covered, I'd either filmed or done.
Right.
And I suspect the producer of the show had watched Abroad in Japan as research because they did cover things like the Shimanami Kaido. They covered Hagoro, where I've taken you, the temple, Hagoro, in Yamagata, near where I used to live.
Right.
The amazing temple that nobody gets to because it's so far away, apart from the most dedicated tourists.
Why would they bother doing that?
Because there's a really interesting monk there called Mr. Hoshino-san, and he's got this really charismatic face, an incredible wispy beard, and he looks like a character out of Zelda, and he's amazing. And that was really cool. But I think I covered him in a video once.
Right.
And I suspect they watched my video on that and went, oh, I'll go there because look at that man's face.
Well, look, you can't possibly copyright that kind of thing, can you?
Definitely
not. You don't own the monk.
But what I did like about the show is James May's enthusiasm for Japan comes out. Most Japan travel shows, documentaries, they do the same thing. It always starts with a foreign presenter walking across Shibuya Crossing, going, like, gawping and looking around 180 degrees, going, wide-angle lens.
Yeah,
it's so different. Mm. Oh, it's like, okay, we've done that, we've
and
seen
then they,
this.
And then they get some sumo training.
Yes.
And then they see some cats.
And they do the same tick box shit, and they don't, you never feel like they've actually kind of gone under the culture and actually met people. In that series, Man Japan, what came off was James May had a real enthusiasm for Japanese culture. He loved Japan. He'd been here before. And he'd done his research. And it was a really great show. So if you want to see, you know, a really interesting travel documentary series set across Japan, I would recommend checking it out.
Mm. Okay. Well, fair dues then. I'm glad. Get yourself Amazon Prime. I presume it was Amazon Prime.
It was Amazon Prime. No. That was a really long-winded way of just saying watch it.
It's all right.
Go watch it. It's good. We got one from George. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm currently in my final year of the university in York, but I'm formally from the motherland that is Kent in the UK, which is also where I'm from.
Yeah.
I normally struggle to listen to podcasts, even interesting ones, can't hold my attention. But I've been listening to yours for about a year now.
Not an interesting one, then.
and I've been watching the channel since forever." Which is 7 years. Every week while I do my shopping in Morrison's, which is a really interesting shopping centre place in the UK, for some reason I'm latched onto every word you guys speak, so thanks.
I like the idea of him going on Morrison's. We should sort of remind him of things he needs. Olive oil.
Morrison's. That's the most British sounding supermarket
chain. You need olive oil. You need pizza bread.
His question is, bleach. You do a lot of collaborations with other YouTubers, but there's one very famous English-speaking Japanese YouTuber... Japanese YouTube channel I've never seen you collaborate with.
Ooh.
And I'm wondering why. Only in Japan has a similar size audience to you, the kind of similar content, and seems nice enough. So I'm just surprised he's never seen with you. I feel like I'm cheating on each of you when I watch the other's videos. I gotta know I'm not. Crying face. Thanks, George. Only in Japan. What do you know about him?
I am just giving him a little Google. He'll be one of those faces. Oh, he's that older chap, isn't he?
He's an older chap. Isn't he your age?
What? I don't think he is.
He's 10 years older.
He's definitely a bit older.
Yep, so there's a YouTube channel called Only in Japan. It's a decent channel.
He's very busy. He does a lot of videos.
It's presented by John Daub, who I have met, and he's a nice enough guy.
Mm.
American dude. He's lived here a long time, somewhere between 15 to 25 years, if I recall. But his channel, credit where it's due, it inspired me to want to up my game and go from being a simple vlogger in a room complaining to trying to see more, you know, original content. Because he does pretty well-made documentaries. I think he was sponsored by a company called Wowyou and they had good budget. Right. I'm not sure. But it is a good channel. And I don't think there's ever going to be any way we can collaborate, given that we are very different. I'd be quite interesting to sit down, maybe do an interview with him. Mm. But he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, and it's
like
a great channel.
It'd be like Avengers Assemble.
It would be, I suppose. But he's very clever. He's recently started doing live shows.
Right.
Going around doing live shows in Tokyo. Mm. So seems to be a live YouTube channel. But yeah, Only in Japan, it's a great channel. Don't worry, George. It's not cheating when you watch his channel. As long as you watch Abroad Japan more than Only in Japan.
See, look, some occasionally criticise you for not putting out very many videos. 2 weeks ago, that was his last one. Then a month before that, and 3 months ago, 4 months ago. He's clearly had a busy few weeks.
He's doing live shows.
Oh, that'd be why then.
So he's probably doing more than that. Now you've made me feel bad. Thanks.
John Daub.
Cheers, Pete.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One from Brandon.
Brandon, what have we got here? Brandon from Birmingham, Alabama. As a future Japanophile hopeful and a whiskey lover, are there any festivals involving the Japanese whiskey distilleries that I could keep in mind for a future trip? Isn't there one up here? Isn't whiskey quite big up here?
Well, Nikka Whiskey, yeah. There's a big brewery in Hokkaido. Don't know if there's any festivals, but I do know a great whiskey brewery. One of my videos is called Staying in a 1,000-Year-Old Japanese Hot Spring Resort. Mm. Really, I should have titled that video, We Went to a Japanese Whiskey Distillery, because that is the biggest part of the video.
Right.
And people always ask about it, but check out that video, Brandon. There's a really great distillery just outside Sendai by Nikka, the amazing whiskey company. Mm. And you can try all the whiskies, you can see how it's made, you can see them all in their caskets. It's right. A really cool place. I really enjoyed it. Or just watch the video and drink some whiskey, and it's basically the same thing.
I've been smashing back some Yamazaki 12.
Yeah, but you broke the rules.
What did I do? I broke the
Pete
rules.
Pete ordered some Yamazaki whiskey and then he had it with water.
I didn't.
It was 90% water.
Really annoyed me. Really annoyed me.
Ice cubes and 90% whiskey.
Do you want it with rocks? I was like, well, no, I don't like it. I like my whiskey without ice. But if you give me a glass of water with it, if you want, that's up to you. That's your business, not mine. They made like a kind of weird whiskey water cocktail. Gross.
It looked horrible.
Gross, baby.
Got one here from Dylan from Camrose, Alberta. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My family and I are planning a vacation to Japan in 2021. I'm learning a bit of Japanese before then, and I'm wondering what the top 5 or top 10 or whatever most common kanji are that you see day to day in Japan. Mm. Thanks in advance for your response, Dylan from Camrose, Alberta. Again. What are your thoughts?
You see exit quite a lot.
The kanji because you're exiting things.
Yeah, well,
you like to exit things.
The kanji for people keep pointing at the sign. The sign for emerge, and which is like a double mountain, and an opening, which is like a square.
Well, what I would say, I mean, there's only two kanji you really need to tell, and that's male and female. Mm. Because some toilets in Japan, particularly in more traditional bars and izakayas,
yeah.
They
that's true.
Don't write male or female. You just have the kanji character for male and female. So
they're
the only two worth remembering or looking up. That's pretty much it, really. And exit, if you want to exit somewhere.
Yeah,
like
emerge from an opening.
Eat or drink, they're quite common. The one for food and the one for drink, they're pretty common.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, you don't really need that many.
Don't worry
to
about
get
it.
Around.
Don't worry about it.
Although I do love learning kanji. It's so fun to learn kanji characters and write them from memory. I'll never forget being able to write, you know. I say never forget because it is a past thing. Because I've learned
just given up.
Over 1,000 kanji characters in my first year. I can write a lot of them from memory.
Right.
Now I can't write many from memory. And it's a shame because you really need to keep the practice up. If you are learning Japanese, you have to keep writing them down.
Mm.
That's why Japan is very much a written society, a paper society.
Well,
they don't use computers for things. They use paper still.
The bloke I was talking about last week, who was the gay man, the gay older man, he was saying that he doesn't know any kanji.
Really?
Well, that's interesting.
It's quite a big problem.
Mm.
So the reason Japan's a paper-based society, where people use paper more than digital. If it's interesting, if you compare Japan to Korea, people often say South Korea is more futuristic than Japan because the Korean alphabet has got about 25 to 30 characters, if I recall.
Hangul.
Whereas Japanese, same as Chinese characters, there's over 2,200 characters that you would need to use in daily life in Japan itself.
Yeah.
Because of that, papers everywhere. People write things down because they need to keep writing to remember all those characters.
Yeah.
It's quite an interesting difference in culture. But when you do master them, when you do learn to read and write them, it is just the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, spend a week, Dylan, writing those handful of kanji down. And, might help you out. When you're
aye.
We've got one from Chris Thurber.
Oh.
Who says, your email is stupid and long, and I hate it. That's all. Chris Thurber.
Well, I'm struggling to see what the point is there. Like, the email address?
For abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's long.
It's got everything in there that it needs.
What I will say, Chris, is yes, the email address for the podcast is lengthy, abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, but it's like a great filter.
We want
the creme de la creme of comments.
Only
the
strongest can survive.
How many people do we know? How many people do you think have mistyped abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com?
Yeah.
One character out of place cost them the grand question, cost them their comment, cost them their moment in the limelight. And that's what we try to do. We try to make it deliberately difficult. So only the top 1%, the best, get to ask questions. And with that in mind, we turn our attention to Jacob, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Jacob, and I live in the US, and I'm currently in college and looking to apply for the Japan Exchange Teaching Program, the JET program, in 2 years. I was wondering if a Teaching English in a Foreign Language certificate would be worth getting so I can get ahead of the competition for the JET program, or is it not worth it? Jacob. What do you reckon?
I have very little.
Yeah, I mean,
I have very little experience in this, Chris, so I might have to turn that one over to you.
I'd say yes. I know the marking scheme for applications on the JET programme. I think that's a factor where they will look at your experience or credentials in teaching.
Mm.
And if you do have teaching experience, no matter what it is, it will give you a couple of points and helps you get ahead. So, yeah, go for it. As long as it doesn't take too much time or money. Then go for it, Jake.
Yeah, lovely little job.
Stick it in the college course. What we got from Dan?
We got one from Dan. Hi, lads. Love the pod, love the videos. Quick Natsuki idea. Cycle tour through England in the summer months, like a reverse cycle across Japan. I mean, that would be guaranteed asthma attack.
Natsuki doesn't have asthma.
Well, he will get asthma if he has to cycle, because he has terrible cigarette
addictions. Yeah, he does. You know what? When we were at the Sapporo Snow Festival last week... We bumped into a lot of viewers. We bumped into a truckload of of viewers and listeners from the Netherlands. Mm. And they surrounded Natsuki and I, and they were, you know, having a laugh. And they said, you know, make Natsuki the movie too, make Natsuki the movie too. And Natsuki was like, yeah, yeah, do that, do that. And it didn't make me want to do it. I felt pressured. But that could be the premise.
There would,
Natsuki cycle from from Brighton to Glasgow. Will he live?
There was a terrible, not a terrible situation, but a young lass and a lad. We were in the ramen restaurant in Ipudo, and they went, "Could we get your picture, please?" To me, and I was like thinking that obviously they want your picture, but they just meant the royal we. You know what I mean? So I went, "Oh yeah, yeah, Chris is outside." So everyone went outside, and I didn't actually get in the picture. So I'm scared that they actually might have wanted my picture. But I just wasn't in the picture, and I felt like I mugged them off. So if they
why would they want your picture?
I don't know why they want my picture.
That was pretty funny.
But they expressly went to me, didn't go to you. They said, "Could my friend is a fan of you? Could I get a picture?" And I just went with my low self esteem. Yeah, Chris is outside. Like I was refusing to get involved.
Well, I think maybe they could have been listeners of one of your other many billion
projects.
Podcasts.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Or they liked the Absolute Radio before you quit.
Well, either way, they got a picture with you.
Perfect. Lucky them. It's quite a surreal situation. One from Jennifer. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Jennifer from the US, and I was catching up on your podcast when a question asker, mentioned Japanese people giving stuff to them randomly, and I wanted to share my experiences. The first one was when my group and I went to a spaghetti place back in July 2019. We were sat at a table together, but also with a lovely elderly woman who tried to talk to us, to whom we tried our best to talk back to. Before she left, however, she gave us each a postcard from her favourite stationery store, and it was really touching. Another time on the same trip, I went to a 7-Eleven to get food for my birthday dinner, since I spent that evening in by myself. But during the days, my friend had stuck a 'It's my birthday' Disney pin on my clothes. So the lady checked me out and saw the pin, got really excited, and stuck a couple of pieces of candy in with my food, and I nearly cried because I wasn't having the best day. Everyone in Japan is so damn nice, Jennifer." That's nice.
That is nice.
Depends what food the candy's being sticked in, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fried a bit of fried chicken and someone stuck some jelly beans in it.
If you put...
That wouldn't make my birthday.
I'm some spaghetti. Someone put some Japanese adult cream pie in it, I'd be saying not to it.
Put that in context.
McDonald's!
Yes.
The McDonald's adult cream pie.
Yes, for those of you that don't know what that is, we mentioned it last week.
McDonald's
brought out a product called the adult cream pie.
Yep.
It is a cream pie.
Or don't know.
And it's caused a big stir in the
big
media.
Big stir. Stir in that cream pie.
But that's a lovely story.
That is nice.
Have you ever received anything for free in Japan?
No, just little balls of peanuts.
Bowls
in bars, but I think that's just par for the course.
Oh, poor old Pete.
Never mind. I bought quite a lot of glasses of tequila for people.
Right.
In bars, when I'm alone. I feel...
Is that your cheap way of making friends?
Well, no, it's my cheap way... Actually, it's my cheap way of extricating myself from any problems. Not problems, but like any situation
where... What,
alcohol? Well, the problems are like situation if I want to leave a bar without sort of... feeling like I'm mugging people off because we're having a nice time, but then I'm like, right, shots, and then I'm out of here. Who wants a shot? Shot, shot, shot. And we have shot, shot, shots, and then I'm out. Can I have or kanjo or could I say give me the fucking bill, I'm out of there.
The only thing I've ever got is free cherries at onsen.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
I got out of hot spring once and some old guy, really nice guy, was like, hello,
started feeding you cherries from while you're in while
cherries.
You're in the bath.
He gave me a
how
box
decadent.
Look at this. He was like, "Sakurambo desu yo." Cherries is sakurambo.
Ah.
I was like, "Oh, sakurambo." Sakurambo.
Sakurambo, baby.
My pronunciation wasn't very good at the time. It's my first year. But it was lovely. But that's a nice story. If any of you guys listening in have got free stuff from Japanese people, do let us know. I'm keen to know what other free stuff they hand out around the country. We got one from Matt. Matt from Canada. He says, "Hey guys, Matt from Canada here. I've been listening to the podcast for about a year. You've asked us inquirers, not listeners, to paint a picture of where we listen. And my answer is, I listen mostly in the gym or on the bus or train. My question is for both of you. Chris has often mentioned having the experience of being recognised in Japan from people who know your YouTube work. My question is, has anyone ever recognised you in a hot spring, in an onsen? I was reading the memoir of a comic book artist the other day, and he mentions meeting fans whilst in the bath at Oedo Onsen in Tokyo. And he'd had a fan meet-up while they're sitting in the hot spring altogether naked. I read this and immediately thought, I wonder if that happened to Chris or Pete. Anyway, cheers, guys. Keep up the good work. Matt from Canada. Interesting story, Matt. I did meet a viewer in Oedo Onsen myself. The exact same place in Tokyo. I was sitting in there. And yeah, it's a little bit awkward.
A little bit, you'd naked, imagine.
Naked in a puddle of hot water. And someone's like, oh, are you that Abroad in Japan guy? I'm like, yeah, it's me. Are you Dave? Yeah, Dave from Abroad Japan, that's me. And he sat down next to me and it's a little bit awkward.
I was very interested to note that what I assume was a Japanese man came in with a tattoo into the onsen it was built into my hotel last week.
Really?
In Sapporo. So I didn't feel
really
quite
rare.
So I did not feel quite so bad wearing my own tattoos, quite frankly.
Was he Japanese?
Yeah, he looked Japanese. I wouldn't like to speculate, but it was a shit tattoo. And I am the expert of shit tattoos.
Why was it shit?
Yeah, it was just a little wings on his chest. I saw a few comments. If everyone's got wings on their chest, but it was a particularly bad example.
That's a really weird place to put wings on your chest.
Have this, son, put wings on your chest.
I had a question on here. I couldn't see who the name was from, but they asked, hi, Chris, a year ago you said you were going to get a tattoo. But then, did you actually get one? Let us know, give us an update. And the answer is no.
No.
Not yet.
I've offered to do it with a needle.
With a felt tip pen.
A hot needle and some Indian ink.
That is enough to put anyone off getting a tattoo. No, I haven't got a tattoo. Mm. I love to, but I do go in a lot of hot springs and onsen, and I just think it would cause too many problems at this point in time. I think when I leave Japan, I might get one.
Mm.
But I don't know. My weight goes up and down a lot. Like at the moment, I'm not fit because it's been winter. I've sat inside. I haven't done any exercise.
Excuses.
I look like a puddle of just
awful.
Oh, lots
of excuses.
And so, if I got a tattoo, it would stretch and look awful. And then when I get fit next month, which is definitely going to happen, let's face it, it would shrink, it would look wrong. So, yeah. You know, I've got to wait till I'm more stable.
Well, we'll just put it on a part of your body that's not going to get bigger or smaller. Like your head, your forehead.
Right, yeah. brilliant. But no, I'd love to get one, but I still don't know what it would be either.
No.
The Abroad Japan subscribe button.
Would
that be sad?
Now. Swipe up to subscribe now.
I don't know. I'm still open to ideas. If you have any ideas, ladies and gentlemen, for what I should get as a tattoo, open to ideas as always. Let us know. Drop us an email. A comment or question to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Don't be put off by the long and lengthy cumbersome title. We do get hundreds of you guys send your stuff into us, and it's great. Clearly, the cumbersome and lengthy title hasn't stopped anyone from sending in their messages, so that's great. But do keep them coming. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. Pete will be in Japan still, so we'll be doing another one in Japan. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, thanks for listening, and check out our Sapporo video on the Abroad Perspective YouTube channel. It was a lot of fun, and you get to see what we did pretty much in real time. It's quite a lengthy video. But anyway, enjoy it and have a great week, guys. We'll see you next week.
Wrap up warm.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.